Locks in the Box, Volume 1, Episode 5.
He betrayed his own dad, betrayed me, as if our lives were nothing before his own ambition.
So, your brother definitely has the peace now, correct? Your brother has the peace. How do I get in touch with Harris?
They still treat us the same. Doesn't matter if we're related or not. The government and its greedy rangers. So many animals killed. So many hunters murdered. So much money made. And I'm still struggling. Financially, that is. This gotta stop. It must stop.
Not a side with the bad guys here. But you're a poacher. You're not a saint either.
I'm a hunter. There's a big difference. If you ask me, people killing hunters are the real poachers.
Well, I wouldn't call them poachers. What do they take from you that is so valuable?
Our lives, first. Our livelihood, our tradition, our way of living, our identity. For what? To get by? A few dollars here and there?
I wouldn't say just a few dollars. I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars would be more accurate.
This industry is about hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't have any ivory in my house. Do you? The rangers themselves think they're getting ahead with a couple of hundred dollars from the government or tourists just like you. So who's getting richer and richer? Not me, for sure. Last year, I went straight to another safari house.
The one your mother used to work?
No. There are a dozen of these in Africa, popping left and right like McDonald's or KFC.
You guys have McDonald's and KFC?
Yeah, unfortunately. It becomes a food colonialism here. But these safari houses, they basically are grocery stores for foreigners searching to score deals on big games.
What do you mean, deals?
The upfront items such as clothing and survival kits are on display. Anything you need to endure the harsh condition of savanna. Tents, clothes, boots, insecticides, you name it. They're all there. But what makes this place thrive are all in the background. Animals' head on display with the price for each catch. Very competitive price, mostly dead or alive. They're part of the black market, or what you guys call games. My God, I saw the price. We get paid peanuts compared to what this safari house make.
Peanuts?
Peanuts, yeah. $25 here, $50 or $100 if we're lucky, working as a guide. Check this out. A budget for a two-week safari costs between $3,000 to $5,000 per day. Then you add the gear, the clothing, the rifles, bullets. You flew from whatever place to here, right?
LA.
The price of the plane ticket? Insurance in case something bad happened. You get sick, food poisoning or malaria, then transportation to your hotel or whatever accommodation you will live in. Paperwork to bypass the rangers or to pay them to get to the safari house. Add to that whatever price you need to ship. How much do you think this will cost you? The rangers squeeze so much that foreigners don't even want to hear anything about money as soon as they land on the African ground. All their focus is that buffalo head, that gazelle's horns, the baboon's head, or the tusk of a rhino, of an elephant. How do you want hunter to compete against that? We barely have anything to put on our backs, to put food on our table. You're asking a hunter, no, you're forcing a hunter to be a poacher because he has no choice to survive.
All right, okay. Let's keep focusing on our story. If you don't have the peace anymore and your brother has it, how would you be able to help me then?
When you mentioned $3,000, I knew you were not here for a safari.
I told you. I work for a newspaper.
We are in Africa. It doesn't mean we are ignorant. We know about CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, Never heard about your newspaper, The Lighthouse, something, something?
We're an online subscription. Only online.
You must have a lot of money, or...
Or?
You are either after something or someone.
Are you implying that our deal is dead?
As I said earlier, they still treat us the same. Every other week, my brother comes to get his bag.
Bag?
Yeah. You gotta keep feeding the beast to get the monkey off your back.
Strange metaphor, but I got it. May we continue, please?
As a matter of fact, Harris came last week wearing some dark sunglasses. He's so infatuated in being the best African ranger. As usual, I brought in a bag of tusks that he put in his old SUV trunk. He looked at me, paused for a second, walked towards me and handed me a half-closed dirty envelope. The usual peanut payment. As I put my hand out to get the envelope, Harry swiftly held the envelope and put it on his chest, as to tease me. He paused, smirked, then slowly and purposely dropped the envelope on the ground. He stared at me as to challenge me. All I could see on his sunglasses was my dad's face telling me to let it go. He smiled and he left the premises.
That's some coach. Oh, excuse my French. Carry on, please.
I am the son of my father, and I will always be a proud African hunter.
Tell me more about your brother?
Harris? Sure. He tries to put his hand in everything I do now, or try to talk to people I work with.
Like spying on you? Why? I thought he had the piece.
Who knows? The piece is just the piece. It's not the locks. He always thought that my dad favored me. Retribution? Jealousy? I don't know. He thinks that I will go after him and avenge Baba and get what he deserves.
How long has it been since the passing of the father?
30+ years or so, I think.
Shh. That's a long time. Can you guys drop it?
Africans love to hold on grudges for a very long time. Unfortunately, not sure why.
Well, you said trying to talk to people you work with. What did you mean? Influence them? Or get information from them?
Precisely. He's after the locks for sure.
I think I might know why.
What is it?
It has been more than 30 years. No one has been able to see it. Your brother has not been able to find it either, the locks. The price on the black market has definitely gone up. Tell me more about the people you work with, if you will.
Well, for starter, Yusuf.
Yusuf?
Yusuf, yes. Yusuf, what? Do you know Yusuf?
No. Should I? How important is he in finding what you're looking for?
He's my right-hand man. Well, My brother, he was. For whatever reason, I think something has happened to him. He's not returning my call. I can't find him. He's a good man. No, a great man. A reliable hunter. He believes in the tradition. He always got my back. But a bit too gullible, especially with women and politics. But good-hearted man.
I see. And, so what happened?
I have a bad feeling about it.
Oh, my. Is anyone enjoy being around still alive?
I don't know. The whole industry is all upside down.
I'm sorry. Could you tell me a bit more about Yusuf? Maybe the good time you had with him?
I mean, days before, he acted strange, as if he knew something would happen. It started with a visit.
A visit? By who?
After a long day of hunting and visibly exhausted, Yusuf went home late. He told me as he shut his door, someone surprisingly pinned him on the door, with his forearm pushing under and against his chin. It was dark.
Where is the stash, Yusuf? Huh? Where is it? You know I can kill you right here. Now. And no one would even care. Such a naive little boy. Imbecile. Not even your boss. Do you know that? Question for you. Where is the locks? How do we find it? I got the piece with me, you know. Did my brother mention anything about it? Anything? Nothing?
Harris applied more pressure. He looked Yusuf in his eyes for a few seconds, then released him. Harris loudly laughed and friendly tapped Yusef's shoulder.
It's okay. It's all right, little fella. Breathe. Breathe. Do you need water?
Harris poured some water from a bottle into a glass, then gulped it himself.
You're a hunter, the pride of our land. Hunters don't drink. Hunters hunt. Sooner or later, I'll find it, you know. You know that, right? I'll be more than powerful. Everyone will respect me. Two things from you, though, Yusuf. First, you'll keep hunting elephants until I have told you to stop. I don't care what the EPI, their mama, their grandmama said. Second, I want you to follow every move that Kwame makes. Let me know anything and everything about it. New girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, what he likes to eat, drink, after hunting, anything. Especially about the locks. Your life depends on it. You hear me, right? I'll be in touch soon.
Yusuf finally regained his normal breathing and worryingly and madly looks at Harris. Harris left the hut without closing the door. Yusuf skeptically approached it, checked for any more surprised at the door, then closed it and locked it.
What's EPI?
EPI stands for Elephants Protection Initiative Foundation. It's basically a Pan-African organization trying to protect elephants from becoming a disappearing species. But again, everything we're trying to accomplish, we need white people to assist us.
White people?
Where do you think all the resources come from? Finding, tracking, counting the animals, migrating, surviving behaviors, eating habits? Where do you think all the money to do that comes from?
I see. All right. All right, let's go back to your story. So you don't have the piece anymore. Your brother has it. And he's officially on my most wanted list. You know, I must confess, I called you a poacher, and I'm sorry. You actually said that you're a hunter. I respect that. Could you tell me more about what hunting day looks like? I'm trying to light up the mood. Cause anyway, could you please?
Sure. We usually leave our huts around 4, 5 a.m., Yusef and I, and we walk across the high grass of the savannah for a good hour or hour and a half, searching for footprints or anything else the prey left behind, showing the path. The last time we went hunting, we came across something strange from a far distance before us. Something was laying across the dirt road under a tree. We usually mark trees to track elephants. We pick specific trees that have bark because they love eating them. At first, we thought maybe it was a big branch or a dead antelope. Then we noticed that the animal was covered with some kind of skin, stretched skin, with a very lean end, like a tight end with rope of a huge sack at each end of the corpse before us.
Corpse?
He moved slowly, then stopped moving as he heard us. He halted his crossing. To be honest, he sends us a mile away, but I think he was hurrying, feeding itself, and was searching for a quiet, safe, and warm spot to digest what he gulped under that tree. We halted our walk too.
Do you want to sell belts, bags, or shoes today?
I nodded no, then Yusef and I sat on the ground. We waited. Any other shortcut was nearly impossible due to the thicker bushes on each side of the dirt road. The animal's abdomen slowly inflates, then slowly deflates for a good 10 minutes. Then we saw more clearly the skin of a python covering the entire impala. We saw the skin slowly crawling and finishing its trip across the dirt road. Its length seemed endless, as it took a while to see it completely disappeared into the bushes. By the way, after they eat, python are usually prone to catch, as they're defenseless while digesting. That's the reason Yusef asked about belts or bags or shoes.
Yeah, I was wondering, why did you have to maces?
Maces?
Never mind. Please carry on.
Anyway, a hunter can see and appreciate the skin of this prey if he decides to catch it. No less than 1 meter in length to make a good sale. That's approximately 4 feet in length, I think. This one was easily twice that length. Yusef finally stood up and we both continued our walk. We saw a sort of bloody sack on the ground, indicating one or two things. The impala was in the action of giving birth, or her and her calf got caught by surprise and snatched from the tree.
You mean the python fell off the tree? And wow, hunting in Africa is chilling.
We then arrived in the heart of the savannah with thicker trees and bushes. Yusef and I took our arrows out and arm our bows now, quietly walking because we saw footprints, small and medium-sized footprints. Could have been a rhino, but there were several, so definitely a matriarchal herd.
Why matriarchal?
Because of the size of the footprints. And generally speaking, the herd is made mainly of a lead female and her younger daughters. When the lead female dies, the eldest daughter takes over.
Elephants are really something.
Yes. They are not just big animals. There is a natural order in the wild. Nothing to do with our crazy world. We kept walking and searching for clues, just to confirm. At this point, no one knew for sure. We kept fixating on the ground while walking. We saw a lot of Arundo plants.
What plant?
Arundo plant. Elephant grass. Almost like gigantic sugarcane. They love eating these. They are a treat for them.
Sugarcane. I love it too.
Something was odd with Yusuf though. He kept gently huffing, puffing many times. He was bothered by something. Then he momentarily jumped in and out of it. Anyway, he kept going. Then Yusuf got back to be a hunter again. He adopted a semi-push-up position, slowly lowered his upper body and sticked his ear to the ground.
A bull, for sure. It is after a female, maybe.
Yusuf listened for footsteps on the ground. We suddenly heard a buzzing sound. Yusuf rose under my pensive look.
I don't think it went that way. There is a beehive close by.
Then out of the blue, he asked.
That's a new customer of yours. Did he even negotiate the price? How many tusks did he want?
I ignored him. Looked at the path for a moment, then looked in the air and listened to the buzzing sound. Yusuf was right indeed. Elephants don't like bees, so we took a different direction.
Customer? What new customer?
I will tell you more later.
You have been listening to Locks in the Box Volume 1, a Patrick Cavity Presents production. Locks in the Box has been created, written, and produced by Patrick and Wendy Cavity. Recorded at Soundbox LA, West Hollywood, California. Executive producer, Wendy Cavity. Original sounds by Pixabay and Upbeat.io. Edited by Miguel Sol at Soundbox LA. Casting by Patrick Cabertie. Directed by Patrick Cabertie. Starring Kirk Taylor as the priest, J. Teddy Garces as young Baba, Baba, and Tony, Jonima Diaby as Harris, Francis Edemobi as Yusuf, Shalimar Garba as mother, Fatima, young woman, and Katalia, Emma Garba as young Kwame, Omri Cabertie as young Harris, Mel Uche as Sharp Teeth and Juliao, AJ Lubskin as Sajess, Charlotte Chang as Zhao, Patrick Cabertie as Kwame, and narrated by Patrick Cabertie.
Credits read by Sydney and Omri Cabertie. Special thanks to Tim, Michelle, and Miguel at Soundbox LA, West Hollywood, California. Locks in the Box is a Patrick Cabertie Presents production. For a full cast list, go to patrickcabertiepresents.com and listen to the next episode. Follow us on social media. Thank you for supporting Patrick Cabertie Presents production, and thank you for listening to